It's March 24th, 2014, and you're listening to episode 71 of Nitro Beer Free to Play. My name is Brian Belita, and I spent part of my weekend in a blue morph suit, acting as the Jackie Chan of Nidhogg. Tonight, I am joined by Mark Bradshaw.
In unity with Koji Igarashi, which I'm horribly misremembering.
Don't point it out, yes. And people won't notice.
Well, it's too late now. I'd like to announce that Nitro Beard was actually never based on Metroid either, but it wasn't based on Zelda either. So, yeah. Sorry.
All right, then. Imran Khan is here.
So I'm looking at this list of video games Wikipedia article, and for the category Other, it has porn games next to Christian video games, and also graphic adventure games, which I feel like should have their own category.
Shouldn't the porn games be graphic adventure games, like, just by...
Well, it's a list of adult video games, then a subset of that is a list of hentai computer games. Not just regular games?
Back in the day, there were probably some, like, DOS-based text porn adventures.
List of arcade games, list of Christian video games, list of graphic adventure games, and list of platform games.
That seems like a weird category.
That's weird, because I guess you can't have a pornographic platform game? That seems unfair.
Oh, pornographic games. Absolutely could.
Kickstarter.
Throne.
Yeah. We're also joined by LMNOP, Mr. Dave Owen.
I learned to use Google Docs today.
He did. Dave prepared a wonderful document for us to reference as we talk about our Litter's Book Club choice of God Hand, including a list of notable characters, one of which I immediately read as the four Daves, but it's the four Divas. So... We'll make some sort of God Hand edit, and we'll have it be the four Daves.
That's not even like the craziest multi-part God Hand boss.
No.
Brigade? What was it? I think that was their name.
That's not the craziest multi-part God Hand boss in the first hour of the game.
Literal mini bosses.
They're like Power Rangers, but they're card based.
Oh man. And finally, Matthew Pierce.
I feel like that game is one guy going, hey, why not? And nobody saying, because that's dumb.
That's a viable possibility. Let's see, God Hand was Mark's pick, right?
It was my pick. You can thank me for that.
This all right.
Beautiful video game. Yes.
Well, let's just go ahead and we'll talk about God Hand right now since we've delayed it a week or two.
Yes, we're talking about God Hand. All right.
So God Hand was Shinji Mikami's follow-up to Resident Evil 4. So if you can imagine, you make a game that's widely considered the best game of all time,
this is a direct sequel of Resident Evil 4.
Yes.
Little known fact.
He actually ended up using a lot of things from Resident Evil 4 in God Hand. Like, not asset-wise, but ideas.
Yeah.
Like, the difficulty system in God Hand is dynamic, like Resident Evil 4, so... If you're having trouble, the game will get easier on you in the next level. If you're doing really well, it gets a lot harder.
We may have already talked about this, but did you guys see that? Like, there's a bunch of people all of a sudden. I think, who was it? Chris Thurston, I think, from PC Gamer. He posted up his Resident Evil 4 inventory screen, and all of a sudden, my Twitter timeline was just filled with people posting their Resident Evil 4. Inventory screens. It's super organized. One guy's was just all eggs or something like that.
I miss that shit. I miss playing inventory Tetris.
a lot of people were upset at that, but I really enjoyed that little meta part of video games. Like, it seems like everybody turned on it, and now you just can't have inventory management at all anymore, and inventories are just infinitely large.
I'm just imagining Leon there with a box of bullet rounds, maybe a box of shotgun shells. Damn, it won't fucking fit. He's just trying to cram it into this bag. He's like, wait. All right, maybe if I turn this out. All right, good. And then it just slides into the bag, and he didn't even have a bag, actually.
You freeze the right-hand guy, then you sit there trying to get the rocket launcher out of it. Like, if I move the pistols over here, then that'll be totally be enough space.
So I guess we're just supposed to assume that, all these storage slots were in his coat pockets, I guess?
This is attaché case.
Oh, that's right.
I love the idea that you're supposed to picture him walking around with a briefcase.
How could I forget about the attaché?
A briefcase that has, a rocket launcher inside of it.
Well, he's a professional.
There's got to be a market about being, a video game hero character's inventory box or attaché case or whatever. So you have to do all this organization as he's putting stuff in and trying to. It's I need bullets.
That can actually work.
So you need like Tetris the bullet boxes all the way to the top. I guess that'd be a sliding block puzzle, and that just wouldn't be very fun.
Because
I hate sliding block puzzles.
I think it could work actually really well, because, you know, you'd have, like, the sniper rifle falling down, and it could be, like, the long L shape. And if you put, like, the sniper rifle beside, like, I don't know, like, some Full Metal Jacket ammunition, then you can kill the tank on the top of the screen.
See, what they should do is they should give you, like, inventory as a match 3 game, and if you put, like, 3 bullet cases together, it becomes, like, super bullets.
This is a lot better game than the game you played.
Actually, yeah. I had an idea for, and I think I probably tweeted it, but I had an idea for a video game where you play as the protagonist's, like, bullets and projectile and weapons, so, like, he just kind of fires them. You know, he's moving on rails, and you need to direct the bullets, basically fly the bullets.
So basically you're thinking like, but bullets.
Right, sort of, yeah, but with bullets. And so, I don't know, I guess it'd be one at a time, but like maybe if he's rapid firing, you have somehow like control over a guideline for the bullets.
Oh, it's an MMO. It's an MMO. There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Every single player is a bullet in the clip.
How meta. So...
But God Hand.
Yeah. Now, God Hand is a really, really great game.
Now, you were saying that this was... Okay, I think we're going to be divided on this, guys.
All right, so we can talk about like the biggest thing that came out of that game was the IGN review.
Yes.
Because they fucking hated that game.
That was the 3 of 10, right?
Yeah, the byline was awful. Like, that was it.
Who wound up reviewing that? Did they like... Were they familiar with like anything else that the studio had ever done? I mean,
well, so that's the thing. It's unfathomable at this point, but back then Clover wasn't really known as an action game studio. They were like, this is coming from the guy who just made one of the best games of all time, yeah. And they wanted this game to be Resident Evil 4.
Oh yeah, I know Okami.
Yeah, and they thought this game should have been like Okami or you know, most people didn't actually see Beautiful Joe as a action game. They saw it as like a 2D platformer kind of game, and the baser elements of that didn't really come into play for most people. Now, so when like a pure action game that had tank controls came out, people were like, what the hell is this?
Now, I'm guessing like people didn't view like the Devil May Cry games as Clover games.
No, they were outright Capcom games.
Okay.
See, my thing with God Hand is a lot of the problems with that game would be solved if there was an easy way to just turn around. And maybe there is, and I just missed it.
One of the shoulder buttons is a 180 degree turn.
There's a flip around.
Yeah.
But it's still not ideal, and none
of it's ideal. It's very bad at control.
I think one of the techniques you can use actually does like it's a turnaround kick too.
That'd be nice. Yeah. I think actually it sounds infuriating because it'd be in the middle of your combo and you turn around in it.
I mean, you'd set it to a button that you know you don't need that often.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, it's very deliberately controlling. I wouldn't say it's bad, necessarily, because once you get it going, once you have it mastered, I suppose, very natural.
The interesting thing about it is, like, unlike a lot of the stuff in this genre, like your God of War or Devil May Cry or whatever, like, the button, like, the combos are not rhythm-based. It's not, like, XX circle square, right?
Yeah.
Everything, like, the only combo in the game is basically square, 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 and then maybe, like, you can update it to be square, 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 square.
Yeah, you can change it to anything. Like, those four square buttons you can change to basically mimic any fighting style.
Right, but it's always going to be the four square buttons. You're not going to sit there and say, okay, it's going to be square, then triangle. But there's only ever going to be like that very set number of attacks. You're going to have like triangle attack, you're going to have square attack, but backwards. You're going to have circle attack backwards, and that's it. And you're given full freedom over what you can plug into any of these buttons. And I think the biggest issue with this game is that, aside from other things, maybe one of the big issues with this game is that it never explains this fully. Like, it never explains its own fighting system to you.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta admit, as somebody who knew very little about God Hand, like, I had seen one other person play it before, that wasn't hard to find.
Okay.
So, like, once you bought any sort of skills in the shop, the first thing it said was, you want to set these up? Mm-hmm. So you go into that menu, and it's like, oh, this is your main combo, and here are some other moves. So it does an okay job of explaining it to somebody who just doesn't know.
Like, the first time I played this game, like, I have, like, two different playthroughs, one like at 9 hours and one at 7 hours, and both are stopped at the exact same point. But I never figured it out until like 2 hours into the first playthrough, exactly what I was supposed to be doing. I admittedly, I never read the manual, so maybe it explains everything in the manual, but who reads a manual?
Like, well, you definitely don't if you buy it on the PS3 ESN shop.
So like, there's a manual option, but it just like, hey, this is a game that was on the PS2.
Great. Thanks, guys. Preach.
This is about as much effort was put into the game in the first place.
Well, I don't know if that's fair. Like, I would like to know what the budget was for this game.
There are certain things that were clearly skimped on.
Yeah, like the graphics. Like, I would not be surprised if this was on, like, a Dreamcast development kit or, like, a PlayStation 1 development kit.
I mean, it was a 2006 game, and by that point, everyone had been moving on.
They didn't skimp on the belts, I'll tell you that much.
And you got some fucking belts for you, son. Also, shoulder pads. And also, like, weirdly unfortunate boss fights.
Also, really homoerotic jokes.
Yeah.
Like the main conceit of the story is that Gene does not care at all about his female compatriot, but he will make sex jokes about every single male character he meets.
Gene.
Which is weird because, of course, this being like a Clover game, or essentially a comic game at any rate, it goes out of its way to like chew cheesecake of who's the lady? It's not Olivia, right?
Olivia, yeah.
Olivia, okay. It'll go out of its way to sexualize her, just like put her in like weird camera positions and stuff. But Gene is just constantly like, whatever about this lady. It's like treats her like a sister.
Yeah. Well, it really embraces all the fighting game tropes. Mm-hmm. Like there's scantily clad women with whips and like there's like guys who look like meth heads with knives for some reason in the old West.
Yeah, I gotta admit this. This is the closest I've come to playing like Final Fight in a 3D game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
I think was the intention.
The character design is very Final Fight. Like, you gotta give a very good point with that. But, I don't know, like, the issues with this game are, like, it's 80% of a great video game. Like, if they just, I don't know if it's a matter of, like, the studio didn't have any more time because the studio was basically shut down immediately after God Hand was finished. Or shipped at any rate.
Yeah.
I don't know, it does look like maybe that graphics engine was not debugged, really. Like, the way that things just disappear when the camera moves through them.
Oh, like yeah.
There's a lot of things where it just looks like, oh, there's no polish here whatsoever.
Yeah.
I mean, wasn't that this sort of common, though, in similar games from, you know, I guess console games in this era?
On the PS1, but
I mean,
not a
keep
PS2
in mind,
game.
This is a situation where, like, Okami took, like, 5 years. So maybe Capcom was just like, you got to get this thing out the door.
Right.
Now, not to compare, like, the guy, what they were doing at Clover, but at the same time period, you had Konami doing amazing things with like Metal Gear Solid 3, which basically looked like a Xbox 360 game if you squint it the right way. So you could do amazing things with the hardware at this point in time. It's just that it's obvious something was sacrificed in development. There's no
way.
Well,
they may have wanted to keep frame rate up too.
Yeah, that's a good point. Does it run at because I can't tell. Does it run at 60 frames a second or?
It certainly runs smoothly.
Yeah.
There are some points when like you're knocking like a couple guys through like some geometry. Like if you knock them through like an awning and the awning falls on top of them, it'll really slow down.
Literally through geometry because it's like 5 triangles.
Yeah.
But it's like if we're gonna like classify like great video games by like their gameplay, it's there. The gameplay is amazing. The graphics, the story is whatever. The level design is just. It's just stuff in a room,
and you
put those rooms in, like, an area.
It's just stuff in a room, and you put those rooms in an area.
Really big, empty rooms.
It's a, like, it's a Counter-Strike source map. That's basically every level.
Yeah, pretty and, much. Like, there's like...
Counter-Strike source maps had some verticality.
Well, this has verticality, but you don't want it to have verticality. It's almost always bad. It's like, you jump up this ladder, and then you get the ladder, and it's like, jump down this ladder, because there's nothing up here. Thanks.
If I see someone standing on something above me, I just go and punch them in the balls, and it will, like... It'll always have an animation for the ball hit.
Always.
Ball always go for the ball hit because you can also combo into a suplex after you nail down the balls. I don't know why you wouldn't go for the ball smash or god hand move.
Because there's also a move where you kick someone into the sky and they glint.
I never got
to twinkle. Yeah,
that's another interesting aspect about this game. It's like you can buy techniques in the shop, but the techniques aren't always there. It's like in like Bayonetta. I don't know if Devil May Cry, I can't remember if Devil May Cry did this as well. But I know in Bayonetta, if you wanted more techniques, you had to actually go out and buy them in the store. Yeah.
Devil May Cry did.
Just like real life.
Just like real life. If you want to get like a karate kick, you got to go to Walmart and say, hey, I need a karate kick.
Like real life, you could sell the karate kick when you're not using it anymore. Yeah, I'm tired of knowing how to karate kick.
Let me just like sell this technique for karate kicking too. But in this game, like things will just drop at random, like these incredible moves. And it's like, oh, I learned how to do a back fist now. I can just go ahead and drop that into my combo and go about my merry way. But it also, like, I was fighting Elvis for the first time, right?
Which Elvis is a fantastic design because he's like this Latino demon drug lord monk.
Yeah, yes. It's an amazing ton of stuff just shoved into it. And actually, kind of a decent guy, really. I mean, after he takes his ass kicking, he just said, yeah, you know what? You're pretty good, dude. He walks off. I respect that in a video game boss. But I was fighting him, and like, you know, there's a chest behind his throne. And the first time I fought him, I got this amazing move. It's called, I forget the name of the move, but I could clearly tell that this was a unique move. And I said, all right, I know I'm going to die to this guy. I have to remember to get back here later when I fight him again to get this move. And yeah, sure enough, I died. So the next time I went back there and opened up the throne, it was just like a coin. It's like, shit, it's random. I'm never going to get this fucking move now. And sure enough, I fought him like five times trying to kill him, and that move never showed back up again. So it's just lost to the ether.
Awesome.
Yeah. And so, like, random, like, your moves will just appear randomly. And I don't know if that's good or bad, but it does mean that you can't be consistent in, like, how you play any playthrough.
I wonder if it probably does encourage replayability.
Well, yeah. I was going to say, I wonder if it has anything to do with, like, the first time you fight him, it'll be there. But if you lose, you just, you have to start a whole new game, and you have to beat him the first time to get it.
Or you just, like, reload your save game, but he's at the end of, like, a level, so you have to, like, go through the entire level. Some things like that were, like, the level design. Like, you would get to a door, and it'd say, okay, go to the next area. And the next area would be, like, a room with, like, three guys, and you kill all of them. Then you go to the next area. Why did this happen? This room is like 3 feet wide. There's no reason to load this thing, you jerk.
So, the thing that got at me about the game is that first level music, that guitar riff. That is an earworm. Oh, and it just keeps playing through every menu.
Go ahead and hum it for us.
I can't remember. It's just one of those things where it's just... It's clearly like they found it in a pack of MIDI. They're just like, oh, let's throw this in here.
Is it?
It's like canyon.mid.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is it canyon.mid or is it anything related to Pachelbel's whatever?
It's definitely nothing they had to pay money for. That's for certain.
Takeda on this game.
Yeah, Takeda. Yeah, there was supposedly a lot of these songs were takeoffs on beach music, and that one totally to me sounds like the Hawaii Five-0 theme. It's like the. Maybe it's not the Hawaii Five-0 theme, but it's a surf rock song that is forever in my head from childhood. But yeah, a lot of the music was like that. I was listening to it, and I'm like, they're doing the Vanilla Ice thing where they're dropping like one or two bars, one or two notes out of there to not quite make it an exact ripoff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that sort of like acoustic rockabilly sensibility.
The things I like about this is, like, okay, it has its issues with budget and graphic design and the god-awful camera, which
I think the camera, like, it did something that everyone was trying to get right around that time. Yeah. Like, Ninja Gaiden couldn't do it. Devil May Cry still had its problems with it. Just, if you're gonna, like, just try to see if a Resident Evil 4 style camera would work with action games.
It wasn't too much of an issue because you could always just dodge at any point. You could just dodge until, like, everything's within your point of view.
Yeah, that is the weirdest thing, just dodging backwards because it was better than turning around. And just dodge backwards forever until you get behind the guy who was behind you.
And that totally works inside the fiction of this game, though, because everything is just completely, like, dialed to 11. But this is the thing about this game. It for all the issues it has heart. You know, it has character.
Yeah.
That's something you can't really say about a lot of video games. It has personality to it.
I was going to say, part of me... maybe not necessarily as the game, although some of it can be very brutal, I guess, depending on how you play or, you know, what difficulty you play in. But part of me wants to sort of compare God Hand to like Dark Souls, Demon Souls.
Just Dark Souls of action games.
I mean, just in that it's sort of status. And like maybe in some of the quirkiness, and people don't really know what they, you know, what they were going to get from it, but then like, holy shit, this is God Hand. So I don't know. Part of me wants to, just in its status and maybe in some of its brutalness, and compare it to Dark Souls, Demon Souls.
It's very much in that frame, and like, you can go through this game if you know what you're doing and not take a hit. Like, you can just go through the techniques and just dodge everything and have the right techniques loaded up. And if you know what you're doing, you can just play through this like a virtuoso. A lot of games in, like, the Clover and Platinum template are like that.
Yeah.
And it's a lot like Dark Souls, Demon Souls, Dark Souls 2 in that same way as well. These are harsh games, but they reward mastery. And we don't see that
right,
a lot.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's – thank you. You verbalized what I was trying to say in comparing those two.
Oh, yeah. I was watching a guy do a playthrough, and he was talking about even just the idea of certain moves and their placement in a combo allowing a character to get out of the combo or do a dodge. And I'm thinking, like, yeah, somebody has really went into the depths of this game and thought about it on that level. And like you said, it does – it rewards that mastery of the techniques that are there, because it really has a complexity that isn't at first obvious with the ability to stack the combo.
On the other hand, you can totally put Pimp Hand as one of your attacks.
Right. Well, I was going to say that there's that, but then that also that mastery is also sort of maybe masked a bit by some of the goofiness of like the characters and the premise Tiger Joe.
My favorite character is, what was his name? Azel, the Devil Hand guy.
Yeah,
because those fights were actually really cool.
I never got to the Devil Hand. Is that like the Jane fights in Bayonetta, or like where?
He's a rival that has all of your skills and speed, but he's like imminently beatable.
Okay. Because like every time I play this game, I get to the point where you have a mini boss rush, and just that's it. Anytime I face a boss rush in a video game, I just give up. It's like, screw you, video game. I'm not dealing with this. And of course, there's no health items. That's another issue about the randomness in this game. Like, you can fight a boss fight, and a lot of it has to do with if there's any fruits in, like, the crates. And sometimes there's gold in those crates, and you're boned, because you can't win the fight if it's just full of gold.
Gotta eat that crate fruit.
I need a strawberry, damn it. This guy has destroyed me with one of his super, but get me a strawberry. No, it's a card, damn it. I can't win this fight now. But at least you can, like, just continue as much as you can. And the only benefit, the only, like, detriment, rather, is, like, you're great at the end of it.
Yeah, I feel like they managed to strike onto that Super Meat Boy formula way, way earlier. Like, lives don't matter. Just keep continuing, keep trying.
It's a lot of that philosophy. It's same as Dark Souls, same as Bayonetta, really. A lot of the games that these people wind up doing is they know the game is difficult, and they know that in order to be successful at the game, you need mastery. And to master the game, you need to be encouraged to keep playing. If you just die and you have to restart at the beginning of the level, you're going to get discouraged and you're never going to pick the game back up again. It's like it's same thing with Super Meat Boy, like you're saying. As soon as you die, you start back where you were. You can experiment. You're not discouraged. You can just try it again.
So
I was going to say, I think God Hand would have been a lot more well-liked today than it was 2006.
Yeah.
Because we're not used to that Platinum.
Well, yeah. If it came out as full price today, I don't think it would be well-liked either.
Well, I think it would still enjoy a cult status, probably.
$60 bucks?
Like, it would be a $40 game. Like, it would be a $40 game.
Even 40 is. It would have to look totally different.
Like, I mean, within today's standards, I suppose.
Yeah. Like even if you just made this with an engine that is cheap, like Unreal Engine or...
I mean, Anarchy Reigns is essentially this, but multiplayer. Like, not even close to the same depth, but I mean, in terms of structure.
Like, even Mad World.
Yeah. And those games have their fans.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Mad World.
I wonder though, could you make this game today? Like, could you release it with the you know, with the homophilia kind of thing, like the, you know, the, with the twins and with all the cheesecake stuff. And like, would there just be an outcry?
Well, you could do all the cheesecake stuff. Yeah. I mean, that happens all the time.
That's it would just be relegated to the Vita, and then those people would really like it.
Also, what's homophilia? I just made that up just now. So we've got to get on that before someone claims it. We got to figure out what that is.
It'll be homophilia.com. We probably actually just want to destroy the word because there's no way that's going to wind up good.
Well, like
when you want to eat homosexual people.
Okay. All right.
Is that what hemophiliac is? Somebody who likes to drink blood?
No, hemophiliac is somebody who bleeds very easily.
They can't coagulate.
The joke is always gay very well. The new Olympic sport, fencing for hemophiliacs.
You would just gay very, very well. Like you'd be extraordinarily good at gaying. So maybe it was something too terrible. But no, it's.
Pro status gay people.
But like the twin fight, like I was just playing during the twin fight. It's like I don't remember being as uncomfortable about this as I am now, like 2 or 3 years ago when I originally played this game.
You know what actually pissed me off about that fight for no good reason? They have the letters Q and A on their backs, and like one asks a question and the other answers it, and they use that gimmick for a sum total of one question. It's like, that could have been a really good joke, but instead you went with, look how gay they are, lol.
Yeah, here's some butt attacks. Enjoy this.
Like, you could have turned them into, like, a stupid vaudeville act and just nonstop stupid pun jokes. It would have been great.
I think they come back later on, because the type of video game it is, no boss ever, like, stays dead. They always show back up, like, a couple levels later.
Yeah, like, they didn't. Their bodies didn't disappear. You just walk over to them. He goes, "Where do they get these outfits?" Meanwhile, you're dressed like you.
Now,
like a Tetsuya Nomura character.
Now, Matt, did you get to, or are you aware of the midget boss fight?
I did not get that far. No,
the Power Rangers are
aware.
Yeah,
of it.
Yeah,
the midgets, right? I'm not.
Yeah, they're like the midget squad or something like that.
We shouldn't say we're shaped a little.
I mean, that's the actual name. I don't know.
Right, that's what they're called in the game.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Like I said, literal mini bosses.
Literal mini bosses.
I don't know if that was known, like, really well understood to be a slur back then.
I don't think we knew it was a slur until they told us it was a slur. I think it's that sort of thing. It's like, oh, it turns out this has actually been hurting your feelings all the time. We're sorry.
It wasn't a slur until they saw God Hand and, like, oh, fuck, we lost that word.
Throw this one away. Jesus. But how far did you guys actually get? Because on this one, I got through to, like, just after the Elvis fight and stopped playing just enough to get familiar with it. I don't know how far, like, you guys have ever been in this game.
Ever been?
Yeah.
That I don't remember. I think I got to the first, Azel fight.
Never got to the Azel fights.
I've seen a bunch of random snippets of this game because one of my former roommates used to have it. But this was the first time I actually played it, and I only got a little past the Poison Chihuahua.
Okay. Poison Chihuahua was actually amazing, because if you can chase that guy down, the guy that was poisoned, getting the antidote back, he'll give you, like, a random card. It's actually a decent little thing.
Yeah.
I ended up finding that guy in, like, a box or something somewhere and killing him.
Yeah, you can actually kill the villagers.
Like, you guys were just, like, stuck in a refrigerator box together?
Something like that. He was, like, hiding in a crate, and you're, like, breaking open the crates because you have no fucking health left. And then he just pops out and starts attacking you, so you kill him, and it's like, am I supposed to, like, bring some medicine back or something? Can I get back?
Oh, well. Did you play on easy or hard? Because there's no shame in playing this on easy the first time through.
Oh, I played on easy just to get a sense of it.
Okay. Yeah, me too.
I wanted to sit there and say, I'm going to be a man. I'm going to play it through normal and play this thing, because I played on normal before. And it's like, this is really difficult video game. I'm sorry, but.
But it does have that dynamic difficulty thing. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't entirely matter too much where you put it on. If you really suck, the game will compensate for it.
Well, what does it change? Does it just change how much damage it takes to kill things?
They tend to be way less aggressive on if you're not doing well.
Okay.
And that's another one of the weird like things that they never really explain in this game is like if you keep hitting a guy with the same attack, eventually he'll get pissed off and like just charge you, and you just have no reason why this happens. Or like sometimes like you're fighting this a normal mook and he'll turn into a demon, an actual demon who will then wreck your shit, and you just it's just random. You have no control over this, and God help you if you have no life left by this time this happens.
Because demons take a ton of hits.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You have to stun those bastards.
And you wail on them like a little sissy.
Or unleash just the God Hand.
Which you can only do 3 times, by the way. So
save
ever? That. Well, you had 3 like things you could save up.
The roulette wheels.
Yeah.
Oh.
The God roulette. You have 3.
I thought you only had 1 and had to let it recharge.
Well, that's different. Okay, so this is something else that they don't explain unless you go to those little tutorial-like thingies.
I tried, but I couldn't like get him close enough to it without walking through it.
That's another issue with the video game, yeah. But there's 2 different God Hand things. There's like one, the tension, it's called the tension meter. You beat dudes up, and the tension meter builds up, and then you can like just wail on dudes with your God Hand, and nobody can block you for like 10 seconds. There's another attack. It's also on, that's on left shoulder button 1. Shoulder button 2 unlocks a little roulette wheel that pops up, and you can like change like which attack you do. And it's 3 super, and it's like a different super attack for each thing on the roulette wheel. And you do it like up to 3 times a level. Or you can like charge it up by finding the little cards that appear.
Oh, that's what those cards do.
Yeah. Also, like for the first couple hours, I had no clue what any of this is, but what am I doing?
Yeah.
That stuff. Any of you guys actually play like the casino or like go into the fighting arena in here?
Oh no.
Nope.
Yeah, I played the fighting arena the first time I tried to like play it through normally, like years back. It's super difficult. It's your standard like arena bullshit. You just fight a bunch of guys forever until you get tired or die. Don't know what the rewards are. It's super difficult.
Did anybody else find the pictures of Olivia that are in the menu?
No.
Yep.
If you're in the menu and you hit, I think it's R1, it will scroll through a series of pictures of Olivia in provocative poses, and you unlock more the further you go into the game.
Yeah. I know there were like weird like cheesecake pictures that you could find like pornographic magazines.
Yeah, like the porno mags will fill up your God meter. They fill up your tension meter. There's like a boing, and then your tension meter's full.
Thanks, Japan, for that. That's something that you could actually see. And like, if the game was made today, that would still be around. I was playing through today, not today, but last night, and something else happened that never happened before playing this game. Like, I was fighting, and this Easter Island Moi head pops up with a little like light on top of his head, and I kept hitting
him. Yes,
like,
that happened to me. Yeah.
That happens, just randomly. No idea. No idea what this does. It just and you beat him up and like a chest comes out. No idea what the circumstances are to make this dude appear. It's completely random.
Is it completely random? Because like it's consistently the first level for me.
Yeah, the first level.
Okay, so this is the first time I ever managed to get it to appear. I managed to get it appear once, and like every time I went back through there again, could not get that thing to appear ever again. So I don't know.
Maybe there's like a certain order you have to do it in, or something like that.
Yeah, I thought I had selected that off the roulette wheel by mistake, because I was fumbling around with that menu and then it appeared.
Maybe it is. Be kind of great.
The mysteries of God Hand.
The mysteries. I don't know, I still think it holds up as a game to play currently, and anyone who hasn't probably should.
Yeah, you can get it on PSN on the PS3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of the emulatable games.
Yep. So play it, and Imran's got the next pick, and we might talk about it over the break and see if we can come up with one.
It was going to be Bulletstorm last week, but then they pulled it from Steam.
Oh,
man. So now I don't know, like, why can't really, if we don't already have it, then it doesn't make sense to say it. So it might be Alan Wake instead.
It might be. We'll confirm that after these messages. Back and we're going to burn this podcast to the ground.
To the ground.
And Imran's made his Illiter's Book Club selection. Imran,
Yes.
Say it.
Thief Deadly Shadows?
Thief Deadly Shadows is the next Allure's book club selection made by Imran Khan.
As we continue our proud tradition of going for a game that's out now and then looking at the one before it.
Right, because as Imran mentioned, he was going to go for Bulletstorm, but it's not on Steam now. So that's interesting. Awesome. So I guess even though I own it, I can't even download it.
So what's the story behind that?
I think it got pulled because they have no intention to patch the Games for Windows Live part out of it.
So I wonder how many Games for Windows Live games are just completely porked then.
I mean, you have to pirate a crack.
Clippy B.
Yeah. Which I don't think you really want to run that on Steam, though, right? I mean, a crack version on Steam?
I don't think they'd care. I mean, and more to the point, if you're cracking it, it probably won't use Steam anyway. You just use the files.
Will it still work if you've got it installed?
It would work up until the point where you get to the Games for Windows Live login. Like, that's not down yet. I think it's down June, July.
Yeah.
But they're being proactive, I guess. We're going to see what happens with the rest of the Games for Windows Live games. Like, Batman got patched and BioShock 2 got patched.
Yeah.
So, I'm curious about Dark Souls as well.
I should probably finish Bulletstorm then. Like, halfway through that.
It's really fun. I'm going to kill your dick and I'm going to kill it.
Yep.
I wonder what's going to happen with Street Fighter 4, because I lost my Games Windows Live login, like, ages ago and got completely boned out of Street Fighter 4 ever. It'd be great.
I think they said, not have access to that email address anymore either or something.
I don't know which email address I used to set this specific game up, and every time I ask to, resend it, it just vanishes. So
I think they said Ultra will be using Steamworks, and that may be the extent of what they're going to do about it.
I will buy it. I'll buy Ultra then, you bastards.
Yeah. So, Thief Deadly Shadows, that'll be fun. I don't think I ever played that game to completion when I got it when it first came out. So that'll be cool.
It's an excellent stealth game.
Has anyone played the new Thief game?
No, I wanted to play this first.
Okay.
So I know what I'm comparing it to.
That's a fair point. It might be on sale by then, too.
For everyone that's going to be playing it for everyone here and everyone listening won't play it, I encourage you to play it. At least get through Shellbridge Cradle. That is Ravenholm and Half-Life 2 were just, landmark, I guess, levels. Areas, I guess.
Landmark video game areas.
Yeah. Landmark video game areas. Just that same era.
.tumblr.com.
.tumblr.com.
Yeah.
We still never made game-trailers.com.
We did.
Did we?
No, we did Let's
Ship
It.
No, we made, we can ship that.
Yeah, we can.
Which I might have deleted recently.
Yeah, it probably doesn't exist anymore. We tried to make it happen and it didn't happen. Imran and I were talking about doing literal video game trailers, a truck pulling a trailer with an ad for a video game.
Or the trailer in Left 4 Dead 2's.
Oh, right. Or trailers in video games. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have ideas.
Apparently, basically a whole episode of a joke doesn't get people motivated really well. Who knew?
I still think Let's Ship It was a good idea.
Yeah, I think it depended on us, screenshots ourselves.
We can ship that or something. I don't remember.
It's we can ship that.
Yeah.
It was based on X-Men Destiny.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
It's probably easier to do that now that, all consoles have, you just, get a screenshot real easy.
You would think so.
You think?
If it works.
Oh. Well, tell us about your experience with the PlayStation 4 video then, Imran.
It's supposed to record the last 15 minutes, but it doesn't actually do that. It recorded 15 minutes of me idling in a menu.
Okay. That's important, I guess.
And then when I tried to upload a screenshot, it was we can't connect to Twitter, sorry. And then it erased my screenshot because it was already, sent.
Man, that's super wonderful.
Thanks, Sony. You guys are great.
I think the way I compared it was, the PS4 operating system is, an employee giving you a resume that's just full of fake shit.
Yes, yeah.
It's I don't actually know Excel, but I'll try.
Oh, no, you see, I knew Excel. But now I don't.
I knew Excel in 95. 2007
last month's resume, and Excel isn't part of this month's resume. Sorry, bro.
Unfortunately, you already hired me, and it cost you a lot of money to get rid of me, so sorry.
Oh, so this is just, I have to share this. My boss is currently on a search committee, and this search committee is for an emergency manager, someone to write our protocols for if there is an emergency on campus.
Yeah.
So she has the most hilarious resumes to go through. So, like, there was this guy who's, like, bragging about how he's certified with tasers.
Got a SimCity city to 4 billion population with no disasters.
There was this guy who got a JD, so he has his law degree. And then, like, 2 years later, he completely gave it up to become a firefighter.
Blah, blah, blah.
We're like, how would you do that? Why would you do that? And then it just dawned on us, he got his JD degree. He doesn't have his bar. He might not have passed the bar and just couldn't get into that career.
So the next best option was firefighter?
I guess. Maybe.
Firefighter is always the next best option.
That's a good point. It's like, who's going to turn you down from firefighting? Either you're good at it or you're burned to death, I guess. Sorry, firefighters out there. I shouldn't make fun. Please save me if my house catches fire.
Not if you didn't pay your firefighter tax.
Yep, you got to pay that firefighter tax.
Oh, the
city has a lien against your building based on not paying the taxes, so no firefighters will come in.
No, it's important that we don't call it the firefighter tax. It's the firefighter subscription. It's specifically so you don't have to pay money in taxes for the firefighting department. You got to spend that money on the subscription or watch your house burn down.
You get 3 free fire saves a month.
No.
But this is fucking in-app purchase, free-to-play bullshit.
No, do you know this is a real thing?
I know it is, but I'm envisioning like the firefighter has taken the long route. Would you like to speed the route up? $4 for firefighter bucks.
We're only going to send one truck out there, and it's not very good. To upgrade to a pump truck, please spend another $50.
To use a water doubler, please.
Yeah, we went out to lunch on the really nice day we had this past weekend, and we were walking on the way back. There was some of the local firefighters in Frederick, where I live in Maryland, like just running one of their trucks through diagnostic, and the guy came out. And he was really really nice. He gave Parker like a little fireman hat and gave us a tour of the location. Let Parker play with the thermal imaging camera and stuff like that. we got up into the cab of the fire truck and he like put on the lights. So it was really fun. But I did not know that there was a difference between a fire truck and a fire engine.
The engine is the big pump truck, right?
Right, an engine is the or no? Yes, I think an engine is the one with that has water. A fire truck does not have water, or vice versa. It was one of those, but I had no idea.
So it actually carries the water with it. I thought it just hooked to a hydrant.
Well, I guess in remote areas where you can't get a
hydrant. Yeah, some of them have reserves. Yeah, so the other ones just are they have the ladder and they're for breaking in and venting and stuff like that. So
it's weird they call it the fire engine. It's like, shouldn't it be called like the water engine or the firefighting engine? It's not like
an economic engine.
You're gonna call the water department?
You're getting. You're getting water. You're not getting fire. It's like you call the crime people and you get the cops to your house.
It's an engine for creating fire. It's like like an economic engine.
Oh no, we got the wrong subscription. Oh Jesus!
And they come out to your house and light a fire.
Oh, now the entire block's gone. Oh, man.
That should totally be something that, like, value added with Xbox Live Gold. So that we will come save your house if your Xbox caused a fire.
Oh, man. So one of the conversations that got lost on Nitrobeard episode, or Free-to-Play episode 70, the missing episode, was Matt and I were talking about the Titanfall energy drink, 5-hour energy.
Yep.
And did you guys see this recent story about the kid who... like went on a energy drink binge playing Call of Duty for 16 hours straight? Yes. And overdosed on energy drink.
That's a good way to die.
Although he didn't die, but he didn't suffer liver damage, was it?
Yeah.
He's going to recover from the liver damage. But yeah, apparently when you drink that much 5-hour energy, the caffeine damages your liver or your kidneys. I don't remember.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Let's just put it this way. Like, Hugo, he's playing like this game for 16 hours straight.
A game that requires no physical energy whatsoever. No, he's drinking nothing but energy drinks.
Well, I've been to like LAN parties before, right? This is something we used to do back before the internet existed.
Yeah.
So there were LAN parties, and I would stay up for like 24 hours during a LAN party gaming through most of that. Like, just like drank like Sundrop and Mountain Dew, and why are people destroying their kidneys? It's only 16 hours, you little wussy kid. Just
I gotta admit, I've done 16 hours of stuff before without any sort of, well, I mean, I guess I drink coffee a lot, but like I've done 16 hour shifts at Wawa's before.
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
I mean, that's just bad luck. The guy didn't show up for his shift and you've also got the swing shift. So you're here for three of them and that happens. But so in a pinch, you could do it. You don't need to like prepare with 5 hour, even still 16 hours. Shouldn't that been five or three shots?
So listen to this. So in the story that I read, let's see, he consumed 8 liters of energy drinks.
What the?
Okay, in total, that's how much, yeah.
Okay, now where are they classified? Because there's...
Because it's probably no not 5-hour energy. It's probably something like Red Bull.
No, it was like Monster or whatever. So he had kidney failure, but...
Like, if I drank nine liters of anything in a 24-hour period, you would die. You would do that with water, and you would fucking die. Your stomach would explode. Like,
wasn't there like a hold your wee contest?
Yes.
And that woman died.
Because she held it in
for
so
long. Because you can drink too much water.
Yeah, water poisoning is when you don't ever release your bowels and your kidneys just overload and shut down.
One of the greatest things in this article are the quotes from the kid. This kid that overdosed on energy drinks was, "I was playing Call of Duty, then everything went dark and I passed out. When I woke up, I was terrified."
My pants too.
He said the incident was very scary and taught him that it is not a good drink, not good to drink that much energy drink.
It's not good to drink that much. I will almost guarantee you that what happened was he didn't get up to pee.
Yeah.
Like, he probably would have been fine if he got up to pee. He probably would have had the hugest caffeine crash afterwards.
Literal
call. How do you call of drink duty that much energy stuff and then not feel, like, motivated to stand up to go to the bathroom?
I don't know how you just forget to use the bathroom, because I can't drink like a large coffee without like going to the bathroom twice in the middle of it.
Because you're never going to sit down and say, "Let's do 16 hours of Call of Duty with nothing but energy drink coursing through my veins."
Gotta make the most of that double XP all those energy drinks gave them.
Anytime you're not playing is wasting XP time.
Yeah, exactly.
Something like this. I'd like play World of Warcraft, and you'd raid, and you'd have to start the party at like 6 o'clock in the evening, and like you would go through for like 10 hours because you're sad and you have nothing to do, and this boss needs to die, and you need the DKP. I would do that.
So but you're old enough and smart enough to turn around and say, "Hey, I got to take a quick bathroom break. I'll be back in 5 minutes."
BRB. Yeah.
I feel like to be old enough for that, you have to be like 3. Maybe 2.
I've known a lot of kids who get right up to the point of pissing their pants before they finally pause it and run to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, but those kids are dumb.
And then they realize, "Oh no, someone's in the bathroom right now," and then they are like, ladies.
And I'll admit, even I get into that sort of mentality sometimes at work. When I'm trying
these
to...
couple things before I go pee.
Yeah, like you've got
the only time I'll actively like avoid the bathroom is just like a public restroom, and like I don't want to be bothered with
it's
that
not
shit.
Avoiding the bathroom, it's I'm debugging this thing, I'm chasing down this pain in the ass error, and I'm almost there. Yeah. Almost soon, like any second now, I'm gonna figure out what's causing this error, and my whole program's gonna be okay.
And if you break your concentration, you're boned.
Yeah, you just want to get it done before you get up and go to the bathroom, and then it turns out to be a way more stubborn problem than you ever thought.
Yeah,
that's
and then
how
you're like,
that.
Oh, fine, I'll just go take a piss. Damn it.
Yeah, that's smart people or even normal people just turn around and say, "Damn, I gotta break my concentration because this is getting absurd." But
I gotta break the seal.
Like, but, I don't know, not to talk about our urinary habits.
I don't know how we got in this conversation.
Yeah. But like, anyways.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else. I'm just going to use the bathroom. I'm sorry. It's just that's going to, like, override all my other thoughts. Like, need to go to the bathroom. I'm an adult. This is what we do. We go to the bathroom. I don't know what this kid did.
This is what we do.
Yeah. Oh, that's the thing.
That's the part of adulthood I've been missing, was going to the bathroom enough.
It'll happen. Like, just start drinking coffee a lot. It'll happen.
It could be that, like, that case with the woman who died from water poisoning.
Yeah.
She just drank so much at once that her kidneys stood no chance of processing that much water.
Spend $250. Let's make that part clear.
Well, no, I mean, they weren't available at the time, so...
Yeah, but still.
So basically, it's Nintendo's fault this woman died, basically.
Yeah, well,
come on
just,
now, Mark.
Not to bring it to that, basically.
It is kind of her own fault.
Well, yes, yeah. It is her
fault. It is also the radio station.
The radio station's fault.
Because they didn't, like, turn to their lawyer and say, hey, has anybody died from drinking too much water? And then they didn't even bother to Google that.
Yeah.
He's
so anyways, I forgot how we got on this topic, but...
Titanfall.
Thief. Yeah. Anyone been playing anything new? Dave, I saw you put up a video today of Lemma.
Lemma, yeah. The physics-y, magical parkour. I don't. That game doesn't explain itself. You're in some sort of a dream world. You're a physics student, and you can miraculously create walls and things as you run through and parkour about.
I'll toss your video up. It'll be up by the time people are listening to this podcast. But I just figured I'd mention it in passing, and then we can point people to the video. But it looked pretty interesting. Some interesting ideas, I guess.
Yeah, it's a little rough right now, but it's on Kickstarter. He's not asking for, $100,000 or anything, but it looks like it has potential, and I think he's got all the coding really in place, and it plays really nice. It's just kind of ugly in places, so just trying to clean it up. But check out the video.
I remember now, we were talking about firefighters and stuff. Anyways, I want to mention that I spent the other part of my weekend, I spent in a blue morph suit. I cannot say that word.
Morph suit.
A blue morph suit because this local Maryland, D.C., Virginia film group of, filmmaker team, I guess production company, although they're not really a company. It's nothing that they're getting paid to do. We're working on this Nidhogg short, which I think I mentioned before, a live action short film based around, Nidhogg, the fencing tug of war video game by Messhoff. And so yesterday, Sunday was the last day of the shoot for that. So I'm really excited for that to be edited together. So we were wearing morph suits because it makes it easier to apply digital effects on the actors and the stunt actors and stuff like that. But then B, because it's Nidhogg and the characters are already sort of monochromatic. So I think the next short that we're putting out is part two of a series called The Last Jedi. Part one, I think I've already tweeted about. I might post it on the site. And then after part two of The Last Jedi comes out, it should be the Nidhogg short. So I'm really excited for it. It was a lot of fun.
Were you able to sword fight in this or how?
Yeah. We had some. I mean, we took some liberties. I posted like a little Vine video the day, and we already had one person who was like, "If the fencing was more like in the video game, it would be a lot better." And I was like, "We're this is a fan film. We're taking certain liberties.
We are also, not
fuck you, film something."
Yeah. So my fight. Ended up being because there's going to be like a montage sequence where he's like learning like what the fuck is going on, and then in my particular fight scene I'm sort of like the Jackie Chan of Nidhogg, so a lot of running away, jumping, spinning around on rails.
That's Jackie Chan, all right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what he does.
That's what he do. Yep. So definitely keep an eye out for that. I will keep everybody appraised on when it is released. And I hope it does really well. I think it will because a lot of people like Nidhogg. They came to me asking me for ideas for maybe some video game shorts. And I was like, all right, well, at the time, the two that I could think of off the top of my head that I know had a lot of good going for them was Nidhogg and Starbound. And I think Nidhogg was an easier choice to do. I don't think we were quite prepped for something like Starbound. Or Nidhogg definitely has the premise already worked out in there anyways. So...
Something, have you guys, there's a lot of people playing Nidhogg still? Like, does it feel like there's a good community for it, or?
Yeah, I see people posting about it now and again.
I never played randomly, like, ever. I've only ever played with people I know.
Yeah, which I think is the way to go. And, so I was doing research playing Nidhogg the other day.
Yep.
Making research. Sure I got that airflow right. But anyways, so that was the rest of my weekend. So anyone been playing anything new or interesting?
So
like I said, Dave was Lemma, and then so Imran, what?
I started and finished Infamous.
You did? You fucking platinumed it?
Yeah.
Which is...
I had nothing to do this weekend.
That's fine.
So just over the course of the weekend, like when did you start like Thursday or...
Started Friday.
Okay, wow.
So the whole thing took about like 22 hours for both playthroughs.
Yeah. You just are just
how many liters of energy drink did you consume?
Like seven? I'm also kind of dying.
7 liters of energy drink? Okay.
Yeah.
You know what you probably do?
You're one shy of OD.
Yeah, after the podcast, it'll be fine. Right. It's a really good game, but also, like, it's flawed in the same way every Infamous game is flawed.
In that you can't, like, jump off the Space Needle?
You can jump off the Space Needle.
You can. I saw somebody saying today that, like, what? How are they going to build this? And you can't jump off the Space Needle.
But you need, like, some other powers to, like, zoom and swoop and stuff like that. Okay. So they made traversal a whole lot better.
Cool.
Like, the first power you get with smoke power doesn't really do that whole much, but, like, the second power you get lets you run, like, the Flash.
Nice.
And you can upgrade it to eventually just never have to stop.
I'm all for that.
And, always, like, be running.
The third one gives you wings that let you swoop up and down things.
Fuck, I'm jealous now because I'm now remembering how much I really enjoyed the Infamous games. So
it's like, if you really enjoy the Infamous games, you will like this. Like, the main problem, I think, is that, one, it's a little abrupt. Like, you get the third power, and then, like, two missions later, the game's over.
Interesting.
And in fairness, like, so the setup of the story is, a concrete lady who is with the government comes and, like, fucks up Delson's hometown.
A concrete lady?
Yes, her power is concrete.
Oh, okay.
So he figures out, like, he'd already gotten smoke powers by this point, but he figures out that if he gets her power, he can come go back and save the town because everyone has, like, concrete embedded in them, and he needs to, like, remove that.
Right.
So the entire game is basically him trying to get enough powers to go kick her ass. And that's it. That's
the entire plot. And eventually
he does.
Interesting.
Okay. He has a goal at the beginning of the game, and then he finishes that goal, and
I did see that they already did. They have, like, a 6-week content release plan or something.
There's a quest called Paper Trail, which an Asian conduit who I'm pretty sure is dead is, like, she has paper powers, and she's leading you on this murder mystery. Paper powers, yes. But okay. To solve this mystery, you need to connect the game to a website, which has been down all weekend.
Oh, shit.
And it is slowly leaking out over the next 6 weeks.
Okay.
So basically, don't trade this game in. You may get paper powers.
So is it like an ARG? Like, you need to... Do you need to register on the website, and the
website will show you, like, a wallet.
The game will ask you,
what is this guy's, like, password? And then you look through his wallet.
What is the third word in the fourth paragraph of the seventh page?
Pretty much, yeah. And, like, oh, I guess his password's his cat's name. All right, and then that works. But I can't do that because it has been down all weekend. Which is a really dumb thing to do. Like, don't hook your game into those online websites. Those online websites with their internets and the webs. But traversal's a lot more fun. You're really, really fragile. You die a lot.
Are you?
Yes.
That was an issue in, like, the first F. I never played the second one, but I remember that being a huge issue in the first.
I mean, does it seem unfair, or is it?
It can seem unfair. If you have enemies circling around you, you're not going to know what killed you.
Okay.
I remember the big thing with the first Infamous, until you, like, power up, this really pissed me off. But, like, dudes across, like, the block could, like, ping at you with a gun.
Yeah, they did this too, and they, since you have so many traversal options at your disposal, it also, they track you really well with your guns. So you can literally light speed dash away, and then suddenly the same guy's still shooting at you.
That's fair. Mm. That's good.
So basically, the thing this game is, you cannot stay in one place more than, like, a second. If you do, you're going to die.
I guess that's a good... If they intended for that to be that way, that's a pretty good design.
Infamous 2, that game had a cover system, and this one doesn't.
Okay.
So, because they don't want you to just hide behind a piece of block and, you know, shoot at things.
I like the idea of replacing cover with getting the hell away from things.
Right.
That's generally speaking, that's good. So how's, like, the character in this one? Is he, like, there was a big uproar that we were having a new character and people didn't like it.
He's really good. Like, personality-wise, he's pretty funny. He's a huge dick in the evil side, like, to the point where, like, it's a laughably huge dick.
Okay. He's enjoying it.
Laughably huge dick has to be the name of this episode.
Yep. And it's, like, otherwise he just... It's a really good performance by Troy Baker to bring him more alive, and performance is a lot better because, like, previous Infamous games had those comic cutscenes. This one has a couple of those that more often than not it's like Uncharted style vocap, and it really does sort of make a difference because PS4 and new graphics and performances.
So you don't have, like, I forget the guy's, the main character's name, Cole, right?
Yeah.
You don't have his wacky, like, Travis friend.
There, you have a brother, and, like, you talk to him occasionally, and he's sort of like the anti-conduit, like, we need to be thinking about humans, but then he'll help you because you're his brother sort of thing. But for the most part, the other characters really aren't in the game that much. Like, you, there's the neon girl, and you do her, like, you do her side quest, and then Delson does her, and then you don't see her again for most of the game until, like, the end. And then, like, the third guy has, like, World of Warcraft powers.
Okay.
His power is that he makes
drink
things...
Drink a ton of energy drink and not die.
He makes things out of video games because he's... It's the very rote, like, oh, he's a gamer and he plays things. And so his thing is, like, he creates angels and demons to appear. And he when he comes out, he's also a giant demon.
So that's he creates hilarious. A morality bar?
Basically, yeah. And, like, so his power is video. So you create, like, digital wings and a giant-ass sword.
That's kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
But amazing.
It's a better power than being, like, obese and, like, needing to use a bathroom.
Like, the bomb attack for that power is, like, you hit something with, like, a marker, and then a bunch of digital blue swords show up and
more
just, like,
dots,
stab
more
it.
Dots, more dots.
Yeah. And it looks like the Virgil sword from Devil May Cry 3.
Man.
Yeah. Oh. So, like, overall, like, really, I think it's a really good game. Otherwise, I would not have binged on it all weekend. But yeah. Some of the things they could fix really easily. Like, the side content is barren. Just, like, there's three mission types outside of the main missions.
Really? That's kind of weird for an open-world game that there's not much stuff to do aside from the plot.
I kind of wonder if it was rushed a little bit, because, like, the story, like, the beginning of the story and the ending of the story don't jive at all.
Okay.
And the game is called Infamous Second Son, which doesn't have any bearing on the game. Like, there's no reason for that title. And it makes me think, like, at some point this game existed in a greater Infamous universe kind of way. Because in Infamous 1, the bad guys were called the First Sons. Mm-hmm. And, like, the villain was Cole from the future. And I figured maybe, like, the Second Son would have something to do with that. Nothing. Like, there's no explanation for what that title means.
Is there any reason why this couldn't just been Infamous 3?
When marketing, I guess, you want people to buy a new game and they think, oh, well, I need to play Infamous 1 and 2 before I get into it. And that's why a lot of people avoid numbers. But yeah, good game overall. I'm like, if you really like Infamous, it's that, but graphics.
Yeah.
I also started playing Castlevania Lords of Shadows 2 for like a little bit, like an hour and a half. That game kind of sucks.
Already you can tell, huh?
The first hour and a half you basically do, like, there's this long-ass extended sequence where a bunch of people are attacking Dracula's castle, and he's stopping them. But
he's fucking Dracula.
It makes you feel really weak as Dracula, because this is like the super, this is the abilities Dracula. This is the one where, like, you have all the powers, but you still have to wait for, like, an archangel to shoot out rivets on the giant mech, and, like, you're luring him. Then it's like, why can't I just rip him apart? I'm fucking Dracula.
You have to wait for your Dracula powers to recharge.
I mean, like, that's when, like, after that is when Alucard defeats Dracula, and then you wake up 10,000 years later or whatever, and then you're going through New York chasing, like, a ghost Trevor Belmont, because he's his son.
What the fuck? What the fuck?
Yeah. And, like, I just don't find any of this interesting or fun, because, like, there's so long before you're fully, like, you're within the realm of what action characters should be, and it takes away so much, I don't know if whimsy is the right word, but it takes away the power fantasy of Dracula so much. Because, like, you can't make an action game where you're so overpowered that nothing matters, but you can't make a game where you play as Dracula where things are a challenge.
Well, what we could do is just get rid of the abilities thing. Just stop punishing people at the start of a game. Just give us all of the powers at the beginning of the game and just, you know, let us figure out the game. Because this is a huge issue with Darksiders. Like, by the time you get all your powers, the game is, like, almost entirely finished. So what's the point of going through all this? And that's another thing with, like, the Castlevania games. By the time you get all your powers, the game's over.
And this is a straight-up action game, so it's like, I want to be the Dracula that, like, walks into a room with, like, a big robe on and, like, looks at everyone and they die. Yeah. And that's not going to be a very fun game. that's going to be a really shitty game, but that's the Dracula I picture. Not the one that, like, oh, I have a sword that lets me regain health. Like, you don't need a sword to regain health. You shouldn't be losing health in the first place.
Well, maybe also just don't have you be Dracula. Like, why are you playing Dracula and not the guy trying to kill Dracula? At what point did this become a good idea for Castlevania?
Because the first guy trying to kill Dracula was Trevor Belmont, and then he became Alucard. And then his son was Simon Belmont, who then joined forces with Alucard to kill Dracula. Oh,
God, I hate this worship of their own stupid bullshit mythology that no one else cares about.
Yeah. That reminds me, they do the dumbest thing. Like, Dracula steps outside his castle and says, "What is man but a miserable pile of secrets?" Really? It's like, what the fuck are you doing?
For whom the bell tolls.
How about remind me of this better video game I'd rather be playing? That's a good thing.
It's trading on things that nobody involved was actually a part of. And it doesn't fit. Like, why would he say that?
It's just going to piss off fans of the original series. It's like, oh, Iga can't make this game anymore. I remember Symphony of the Night. Thanks.
Like, if Iga made a game, like, if he makes his new game and that has that line, that would be cool to me.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a callback. This is...
Now it just seems like Dracula has one line, and he just keeps repeating it so people can hear it over and over. Like, this group didn't hear that line. Maybe this one will be cool with it.
That's the whole point, though, that it's hilariously bad writing.
Like it tries to be better writing than it is, though.
Yeah.
See, that's
a man. It's a miserable pile of secrets. Like, what? what does that even mean? Who's keeping any secrets?
It's an issue, though. Like, these. I'm not going to say like it's an issue with like all game developers, but it's an issue with some of them. Their writing sucks. Their storytelling sucks. Their world building sucks. But they're so convinced that they're brilliant geniuses at all these things, that the stuff that no one really cares a whole lot about, and they just invest so much into it that it ruins everything.
An industry full of Tommy Wiseau.
Pretty much. Like, if you're going to base, like, so much of, like, what you do off this mythos, off your story, and you're going to be so in love with it, then bring in a professional to work on this and tell you exactly what you need and listen to that professional. Don't just, like, do the comic book story thing, like, with again, Darksiders. It's going to be so tied into this one concept that no one else cares about.
I didn't mention the actual worst part of this game is that there are stealth sections.
Okay,
and
that's what you want.
Since you're Dracula, you can't actually, like, you know, Solid Snake hide, so you turn into a pack of rats.
That would be good in Dishonored. See that working?
And you turn into rats and you, like, go around people, and then I don't even, like... All the enemies you sneak around have ambient dialogue, but they're supposed to be monsters brought up from hell by Satan. So I don't know, like, this one guy, like, first guy you sneak around, he's like, oh, I thought I heard something. I gotta not hit the gronk so hard.
Must have been the wind. Are they all voiced by Nolan North?
Or it could just be the pack of rats that's around you. It could be that.
It's just, why are you talking? You're supposed to be a hell demon.
So did you catch the game?
I'm going to play more of it because nothing comes out till Dark Souls 2. So.
Yeah.
I guess I don't have enough of a choice, but it's shitty. It's really shitty. Actually, like, I'm speaking of shitty things, I'm also looking at Yaiba, so we'll see. Maybe that'll be next week's bad game.
Everyone apparently hates Yaiba.
It looks really shitty.
Is that a next-gen game, or, like, is it stuff out for...
PC, PS3, and 360.
Okay. Maybe I can't join in on the god-awfulness.
Yeah, there's supposedly a Ninja Gaiden in development for PS4, but we'll see how that works, too.
Mark, you been playing much new?
Just been playing God Hand and Hearthstone. That's it.
Cool. Dave? Other than Lemma?
Luftrausers?
Oh, how is it? Oh, man, it's great. Really good. It is really, really good.
Yeah, I saw Brian, you were playing it, too. Yeah, it's great. It's really great.
I've put a fair amount of time into it.
Yeah, although
I'm at the point where, like, I just can't kill a blimp. I have not been able to kill a blimp yet, and I have to do that to unlock, like, the extra missions.
How simplistic is it? Is it as simplistic as it looks? Like, how much depth is there?
There's not a ton of depth. I mean, the depth comes into the combinations of the three different pieces of equipment you can put on your plane. So you can put a gun, a body, and an engine. And the combinations are kind of what create the complexity. You know, you can have a gun that shoots a spread shot with a body that, blows up when you die with an engine that shoots bullets to propel you. you know, and that kind of, you find your strategy, you find your play style, you find what works for you. But the actual play is just fly around, then let off the thrust, stall your plane, turn around and shoot people, and then kind of just do that again. Yeah. And then just do that again for as long as you can survive. But it's a great, it's the perfect arcade sort of experience. If you go into it expecting that arcade experience, expecting everything that every other Vlambeer game has ever been, then you're going to get exactly what you're hoping for. If you played Super Crate Box, it's that same kind of, you know, it's the same kind of, the same sort of high score, you know, you're pushing for the high score. It's the same kind of push. I want to get the high score. I want to figure out what weapons I like, you know, the strategies. Yeah, it's just...
And it's all just kind of an arena with the same, like, there aren't missions or you're not, you know, all going from left to right. It's, I think it just scrolls around and it's just a single arena. You're going for a high score or for, cause like, they'll give you like specific missions for each of the parts, you know, for one of them is like kill a blimp when you're at max combo or kill 30 enemies without letting off the fire button. And that comes into play because you won't heal as long as you're firing. Like, you can take damage, and if as long as you stop firing, you'll heal up and you know, get better. But it's really challenging. Like, there's a good amount of finesse in there as far as dodging stuff and, you know, how you're going to take out boats or battleships. So
is it like bullet hell like or what?
No.
Yeah, not exactly. I mean, there are definitely times where you're weaving in and out of bullets. But it's not, they're not going to throw a wall of bullets at you where there's this tiny path that you kind of have to snake through.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's, yeah, just keep it's, moving. And even then, I mean, dodging bullets is ends up being pretty hard because they're coming, you know, you're going to get hit, but then you can just let off the fire button and you'll heal up again. So no, it's not very bullet hell-like. So it's really good. I recommend you pick it up and play that.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hearthstone, of course, Hearthstone.
For me, Luftrausers, and then any of you guys know what Stranded is? I think Dave probably does, but
that name sounds familiar, but I'm blanking.
It's a kind of a point and click adventure that Indie Dev put out. It's on, you know, you can buy it through the Humble Store for like $7 or something like that. It's very short. I played through it today, probably in about an hour, if even that. But it's just a very nice condensed, like no spoken words. There's not a lot of thought that has to go into it. It's sort of a interactive fiction point and click adventure, I guess. It's a very short story, kind of a lot of mystery, but it's really beautiful. And it's
what was the name of it again, Brian?
Stranded.
Okay.
Yep. So this starts off with you crash land on some alien planet. And,
is there a lighthouse?
There's no lighthouse. No. So it's good. It'll really vary on if you're gonna like it or not. If you enjoyed adventure games and that sort of art style, and are maybe okay with, no dialogue and just kind of piecing a story together by yourself and some crazy mystery stuff, then you'll enjoy it. For $7 though, you're not gonna miss much. If you do buy it. So yeah, I think you should play it. And finally, Matt Pierce.
So after something on the podcast, I was looking at the pile of Wii games I haven't played in a long time, and I decided to like dig some of them out. So last week I played Need for Speed Pro Street and put a video up on that.
Yep, that's up on MetroBeard.com.
That's a much better game than you'd assume, especially on the Wii. Because like that motion, that's like somebody actually got motion control right in a racing game, and now I'm playing Tenchu Shadow Assassins, which
oh man, I love the Tenchu games.
It's a good game.
They're really good,
but I'm having some trouble because there are all these assassinations you do by sneaking up on someone. You hit A to start the assassination, and then you have to like do some quick timer event sequence, but they're all motion controlled. So like, but they're consistent at least. So every time you sneak up from behind, it's always just one thrust of the nunchuck. And if you sneak up from underneath a platform, like if you're underneath a floorboard, it's a stab forward with the Wii remote. So you don't really have to worry about following the prompts. You just memorize them. But I have this problem where the Wii Remote is, I don't know, 7, 8 years old now. And the connector between the nunchuck and the Wii Remote is going. So every time I move it too sharply, it disconnects and the game freezes. Like, it doesn't freeze. It goes to a pause menu.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to see about using one of our newer Wii Remotes, like the Skyward Sword one.
Did no one ever make, like, a wireless, like, nunchuck Wiimote combination?
They might have, but it's the connector on the controller that's going.
Yeah, you'd still need to connect something into the Wiimote to, like, get the signal.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, no one ever made, like, just the wireless nunchuck that could just speak to the...
I think one exists, but yeah,
Nintendo still... never made a Wii Remote that didn't require you to plug in a nunchuck. Okay. So like you have to plug in a receiver if you're using one of these wireless nunchucks. I think those are all third party. They're like Mad Catz things.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's easily fixed by just using one of the newer Wii Remotes or not doing violent jerky motions. Just smooth motions work fine. But it's a good game. And now I'm interested to see the ending because Anita Sarkeesian called it out in one of the Tropes versus Women in Video Games. I had no idea how this thing ended when she called it out. And it's like, I kind of want to see what sequence of events leads to that because it seems like such a non sequitur ending. But it's turned out I was only 2 levels from the end anyway, so I may as well see it out.
Turns out it's the QA boss from God Hand. Don't know how they got in there.
In the ending, you end up having to stab the bad guy through the princess you were trying to rescue. So, like, you sacrifice her to take down the big bad, which saves the kingdom. So classic. It's like, yeah, it's supposed to be a sacrifice in order for the better good. But it's also like the damsel in distress just gets completely skewered for no good reason.
There's a lot. This is in no way symbolic, just like stabbing right through her with your sword.
Yeah, and into the guy that's holding her hostage too. I'll give this to the game. It's got every opportunity to do really stupid things, but they keep it relatively grounded. Like you can't do crazy supernatural stuff. You do kind of get this special vision mode that will show you where people are and where they're looking, so you can see their cones of vision. But other than that, everything's pretty toned down.
Well, Batman had that, so of course a ninja should have it. That just makes sense.
Yeah. I wish it was a little more generous with its ability to jump. I also wish they made a better effort to make you have to sneak in the shadows instead of just staying really far away from people. Because you could be really far away from someone and standing right next to a lantern and they don't see you because you're just out of range, even though you'd be perfectly visible in real life. And it's just kind of, it's idiotic when you do that in like the first boss. But it's an okay game.
Yeah, I really liked the Tenchu games when I played them on, I guess, whatever they first came out on, PlayStation 1.
I don't think they make them anymore. I think now they're Shinobi Do games.
Yeah.
Never actually played Tenchu, as it feels like it's one of the things I should have corrected.
It's a pretty Sega good. Game, right? No, Ubisoft.
Tecmo Koi?
Okay.
No, Ubisoft. But, if you've got a working Wii U, you may as well pick up the Wii version because it's probably going to be under $10. It's really old at this point. But, it's interesting. Cool. It's only 10 levels long, and the game becomes long by either doing the side missions, which are in a different menu, or really trying to get good scores on all the missions, which are timed. So your first time through, you will get shitty, awful, no good scores. But your second time through, when you kind of have some idea what you're doing, you'll improve right off the bat.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Very platinum-like.
Yeah. And when I say timed, I mean like the par time is like 7 or 8 minutes a level, and I'm taking half an hour.
Well, you know, you're being meticulous. You're an assassin after all.
I do like that you don't even get the option to try to fight it out. If you get discovered, he throws down a smoke bomb and you got to try again.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I do hate that a shuriken to the head doesn't do a goddamn thing to these people.
What was that? I heard a noise.
Episode
70. You have a shuriken sticking out of your forehead.
Episode 71. Shuriken to the head / lethally large penis. Dick. Whatever.
I don't know that we can have that many titles.
We can have a subtitle. All right.
All right.
That's video games for the night.
For the week.
For the week. And we'll be playing... go to NightBreed.com and check out the show page for Free to Play. Larry Griffin, who we had on the podcast back when it was the Beardcast, I commissioned him to do a little video game title screen for Free to Play. It was an idea I'd been tossing around in my head, and he executed it much better than I ever could have.
It is outstanding.
Yeah, he did a really good job. So you can go there, check it out. I'll probably make a little post about it just to thank him and point people to the game he's working on right now, which is Moon Intern, which was a successful Kickstarter from a while ago, and they've run into some issues with it, but then they've kind of coming back into it now. They've posted some updates recently and kind of reworked the art style and how they're tackling some of their ideas that they want to do with the game. So yeah, he did a really great job on it, and he did it in like one day. Like I talked to him and I was like, hey, I had this idea, and I was like, cool, let me whip something together. And you know, like 6 hours later, he had the finished project. So it's really good. I like it a lot. Okay, that's it. Bye-bye. All right.
Good night.
Thank God. Bye. Use the bathroom.
All right. Take it easy.
Yeah, go use the bathroom.
Or else.
Or else.